Cheers to hitting record.
Yeah, we're going to start with this one.
Yeah. We are at Pussers, and this is only my first painkiller. But she is a number three.
There you go. That's where you got to start.
Well, what? Welcome aboard the Funny Boat Podcast. I am your host, Captain Boomies. And with me, it's been a while, but let's talk about it.
Okay.
You still have a beard.
I did. Thank God.
I swear you have less other hair, though.
No, yeah, I did. I
like, I'm
going to
make fun of you for your eyebrows now.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'm moving up in the world.
The most wonderful, and now a brokerage owner.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The broker with the beard. How are you doing, Cap?
I'm broke.
Excellent.
I put the broken broker with the beard. No, it's all doing good. Everything's going great. I'm doing fantastic, except for this cold weather, because it's hard to show boats when they're covered in ice.
Yeah, don't we know it? We were trying to look at a boat tomorrow, and they were like, no.
You're walking on ice.
We're going to talk after this.
I am so tickled because today we have the crew of Spite Sailing. And first of all, I just love the name.
Yeah, right?
It's so good.
It's very fitting for you.
And it delights me every time I see it, especially because you did such a nice job on the logo. It's all
that was all Mariana.
You. Thank you. My first ever logo.
She killed it.
It's so killer
thank
with the
you.
Sparkles.
She's so whimsical.
Like,
yes.
It's a whimsical Spite.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what we were going for. Spite, but like in a fun way.
Yes. You know. We're not all anger. We're like, we're having fun. We're in spite of the odds, in spite of it all.
Okay, so let's back way, way, way up. So I have met you all because I do some sailboat racing here in the Chesapeake Bay, and I do a lot of women's sailing and racing, and it's a small world, and you run into each other a lot. He has no idea who you are, so would you be so kind as to fully introduce yourselves, even like slip in a couple of like really hot resume hits.
Ooh.
That would
okay. A little bragging. You
know, a little bragging. Need some brags. Okay. Need some brags.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, go first. I'm the worst at this, but
we're warming
that's
up.
Not yeah, bragging.
Warming
that's not bragging. That's not bragging. Do it better.
Try again.
Let's know how you do this.
So I'm Emma Rosenbaum. I currently work at the Downtown Sailing Center, and I help with the operations. Some of my sailing has really been on one design boats, so J22, J105s. We did Annapolis to Newport together on a J42. So I joke if it's a J boat, I've probably been on it, or I like being on it at least. And then we just did a delivery on a Class 40 from Newport to West Palm Beach.
Whoa.
So that's my like big brag as of late.
I'll take it.
A nice 40 boat.
Yes. Yes.
I'll hand it over to Mariana.
And I'm Mariana Fleischman. I started sailing maybe 7-8 years ago. Got into it late in my 20s. I say late only because like lots of people we know who sail like started when they were like 4.
Right.
So I say I got in late, but it's all relative. I used to have a San Juan 24, a little 24 foot sailboat that I bought before I knew how to sail. That was sort of how I started sailing, if you could call it that. I just sort of got the bug and I said, I should get a sailboat, and then found one on Craigslist for $500 and was like, yeah, send it. And then decided I should learn how to sail. So I started doing some racing in BCYA here in Baltimore, and at Middle River at Glenmar. And then from there, just started doing some more offshore racing with sort of like those crews. Done a couple Annapolis to Newports. I think this was my third last year now. This will be my second Annapolis to Bermuda, and a couple offshore deliveries, the Class 40, a couple other boats. And my husband and I have a 45-foot Agulis 45.
Oh my God.
Which is a Vondestat. It's like a very random boat. A very old sort of single design. So we work on fixing that up and cruising it around the bay. And our hope is to take it transatlantic in a couple years. We want to do a Baltimore, Maryland to Baltimore, Ireland. which I think is very symmetrical and fun.
I mean, I can tell that you don't actually know what all they said, but here's the breakdown.
I know where Ireland is.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. Over there.
So here's the breakdown. So the sport of racing sailboats is one of these classic, like, you're practically playing polo, except you don't have the opportunity to go and have champagne at halftime. Mm. That is not part of the game. You instead have to be totally on your game the entire time, fiddling with lines and winches and wind shifts and details and crew. And oh my God, the knots that end up in my hair after every race is just incredible. These are the things I complain about. But
you're not selling me on this.
My favorite question when I tell like non-sailors about like regattas, like overnight regattas or like offshore racing, and they're like, "So when do you like pull in and stop?"
When do you pull in and stop? Yeah. You don't.
You don't.
You when go do you to shower?
Sleep. No, you don't. Yeah. How much water were you carrying? How dare you?
Yes. Yeah.
No, that makes the boat heavy. Right. Yeah. You're not allowed to do that. You all are now offshore racers, like hardcore offshore racers. In fact, one of the coolest things I got to do at the boat show this past year was introduce you all as the first all-women team to complete the Annapolis to Newport race, which is a very difficult race. Tons of boats did not even finish, and you managed to do it with the first all-women crew. And I remember freaking out about this because I'm like, no, it's 2025.
Right, yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What took so
long? Why did it take so long?
Right, right.
What's going on here?
Like, boats have gotten real
good.
Let's
talk about
it. What's happening?
Yeah.
Why did it take so long? Let's talk about it. It was such an interesting thing because, like, you, I remember there. So in 2020, the year change has got me all wrapped up. 2023? What year is it? 2023. There was a challenge that tried to do the Annapolis to Newport all female called Leading the Change. And they were sponsored by the Magenta Project. They like were all in. It was going to be really cool. Even at the time, I remember thinking, really? It hasn't happened yet?
It hasn't happened yet.
Still? And then that was a tough year. There was really bad conditions coming off the bay. Like, you come down the bay. It was pretty sporty going down the bay to begin with, but then turning left out of the bay into a gale scared a lot of people off. It was brutal. I was on a 48-foot boat, so we were like chilling. But if you were on anything smaller, it would have been rough. So Leading the Change, unfortunately, had to drop out, as did a lot of boats that year. And Mary Lynn, who was a co-skipper of Allegiant, I had called her, and I was like, we should do this. Like in 2 years when we have the chance again. And she had a Beneteau Oceanus at the time, big Oceanus, like, you know, not a super racy boat, but it's a boat. And I said, we should do that. She goes, what if we take my then fiance, now husband's boat, a J42, instead, much more of a racer. And that's sort of how it all came together. And then we were like, come literally hell or high water, we will cross this finish line. Like, we absolutely have to. So,
okay, I need you to help me now because I need you to describe the boat we're talking about. Allegiant is, what is she? She's 46 overall, 42 overall.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And she does have below deck space, but mm-hmm. one of the things about her is she's very sporty on deck, very exposed on deck. And has a pretty versatile rig.
I would say that's accurate.
When I say versatile rig, what I mean is you have to carry different sails for different conditions. If you're not used to this whole big sailboat racing thing, it's not a concern. You probably have your jib and your main, and you don't really think about the rest of it. How many sails were you guys carrying?
We had three spinnakers, two jibs.
Probably three, I guess, if you count the storm jib.
Yeah.
And then
the main.
A single main with three reefs.
Yeah.
So was that Three, seven. Quick maths.
Yes.
Okay, so you're carrying seven sales. And then I just want everybody to understand the price range of a sale.
It so depends.
Racing sale at that.
Racing sale.
Nice and crisp.
Yeah. So I have, my boat costs significantly less than most of the sales that you had on board, I would say. Unless you just had a dead beater. That was
no, we had a very nice new jib sale that they had bought sort of recently, because one of the interesting things that was done sort of to simplify, like you're saying, versatile rig, lots of sails, right? Traditionally in racing, a lot of racing boats will have for their head sail, you can either furl your head sail or you can just raise and drop it.
Hank it.
Yeah. So you either have a foil, which is like, you know, you have the luff tape that goes up a foil, or you can hank it on, or you can furl it. And furling is easier, but less versatile. But it, you know, can be faster, whatever, whatever. So they had made the choice to do a furling head sail, which you take is I think technically like slower because you sacrifice a little bit of sail area for the furler. But it is easier in some ways. There's ups and downs. But that was one of the things they splurged on before that race, was like a nice new furling head sail that was cut for the furler, which was cool.
We were so excited about the furler because it was going to make my job as foredeck a lot easier.
Oh.
But we put on a jib that was not set for a furler. So when we did a sail change, we tried to take it down, and the top part got stuck on the fourth day. So
we started with a much bigger jib because it was a very light air start. So we're like, we'll start with our big sort of baggy oversized Genoa.
Right.
And then we'll switch it out when we need to, like as the wind fills in. And then there was drama with the change out.
Yes. Yeah. So we were taking it down and I was like, oh, this is stuck. So we were all trying to just like pull it down at the luff. And then at one point I looked back to my watch partner Jordan and she's like, just bang on it, like just smash it with your hand. And I was like, Jordan, that's not the answer.
Sometimes
I was wrong. I was very wrong.
Well, because you know you're in that moment and you're like, oh man, what do we do? Because like,
I don't want to hurt the boat.
It could go either way, right? Like if something on a boat is harder than it normally is, you're like, there's got to be like a release, or I don't want to break something. And it's like, not our boat, right? We're like, oh. So we're all, at some point I think there was like five people on the foredeck all trying to figure this out. And then ultimately, you just had to bang on it. Just,
yes,
with all your might. And it came out of the little topper.
I think it was Marilyn that came over and just like, full.
Just desperation and rage took over.
Full like Thor moment. She just went one bang.
Out. Yeah, out on it.
Now this is starting to sound a lot like the sailing I'm used to.
There you go. This is the kind of sailing everybody's familiar with, honestly.
Yeah. Those are the moments. Those
because
are the stories.
It does always go wrong in some way. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had a truly perfect sail. If only because, you know, like, oh man, you know, I could have pulled the leech cord a little more and like, just got a little more out of it.
Oh, I should have inspected like, that before we left. Now it's broken. I didn't bring a spare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's, I think sailing is one of these sports that you kind of have to love the fight. You have to love the struggle.
Love the struggle. You have to embrace the suck. Yeah.
What did they call it? Type two.
Type two fun.
Yeah.
Fun in a big way.
Okay.
Sometimes it's
are
type three.
Are you familiar with type two fun?
No, but I'm familiar with embrace the suck.
Yeah. It's
type two.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Type two. It's not fun while you do it, but it's fun to tell the stories about it.
Yes.
Afterward.
Oh man.
Yeah.
There's so much to this sport of sailing, and there's different types of sailing. What you're doing is this big, wild ocean racing stuff, and it means you have to be qualified to do it. What kind of stuff did you guys have to do in order to, be safe out there?
Mm. Yeah. We did the safety at sea hands-on course together. So you actually jump in a pool, you inflate your PFD, you go into a life raft, which we were in a group together. So we jumped in the pool at the same time. We got pulled into the life raft at the same time. I was first.
Nice.
To be pulled into the life raft.
Success.
And
she's getting good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, I'm in good hands. Hopefully it never comes to that.
And the people that were pulling us up, they said, choose your two strongest. And we're both pretty strong, but we didn't volunteer for that. We were like, all right, other people can go and they can pull people in. So I was first, and they hadn't really calibrated their poles.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I'll put my hands up, whatever. And they come, and they just, like, throw me into the life raft.
Like,
and I look
fish.
Back, and Mariana's just dying laughing. And then she's next, and yeah. They calibrated by then.
Yeah. Well, I think they sort of overcorrected. There is no dignity getting in a life raft.
Oh,
first
yeah.
of all,
yeah.
you flop in that like a dead fish, and you're just. And then what you don't realize.
Are you in your Gumby suit at that
oh,
point?
Oh well,
yeah, your
we
survival
were just
suit.
In. I mean, you're in your PFDs. Wet like
fallies,
oh, okay. and like your Whoa. PFD all inflated, and I'm sure there's nicer life rafts, but like the like ones they used didn't have like the inflated floor, so you're
oh,
kind of
God.
On like essentially a wet trampoline
because. Yeah.
It's not like rigid, so you're stepping and just falling, and there like there's truly no dignity in it. But
there is no dignity. But I will say, when they pulled Mariana in, she like somehow did the most graceful swan dive.
I'm glad you thought so. It did
like,
not feel graceful.
And I was just like looking at my hands. I was like, what? Like, how did she do that?
Yeah, and then you just watch like four other people get pulled in, and you just go, God, I hope this never actually
yes.
happens.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing the Safety at Sea course teaches you more than anything is like, I hope I never have to do this for real.
It's
this
miserable in a life raft.
Yeah.
So
yes.
you really gotta...
I never want to fall in. I will always have my PFD on. I will always be strapped in.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
after that, I... It was nuts. They do a really good job. Highly recommend the hands-on course.
Yeah.
Very
cool. And then we both did the... classroom course as well, but
that was
a great time.
Yeah, no, I'm on team step up into the life raft.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like, absolutely.
I'm staying tethered to this thing the whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we need to get into the name Spite Sailing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pretty much already know what we're doing here, but would you mind explaining
sure.
to me where the name came from?
Yeah, people... It's a very polarizing name, we've found. People who get it, and the people who don't are like, that's kind of mean.
Oh, no.
We're like, no.
Oh, no.
No, my kind of people.
Oh. Yeah. So I've had that idea for just sort of for years. I was like, it would be so fun to have a race boat named Spite. It just seemed like a fun name.
Yeah.
And then when Emma, this whole endeavor was really Emma's idea. So I'll let her explain that part, and then we can get into the naming of it. But it was really just an idea I'd had for a long time, but we can get into why in a second.
Yeah, it's actually crazy you chose Pussers as the place to film this, because this is actually where we started.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That makes me so happy. Yeah. I'm brilliant.
Like, right, yes. right over there somewhere.
Of course
yeah.
you are.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant.
We knew that.
So, in my weird ways, I had a dream one night, and I was sailing a boat. I was up on deck by myself. I was looking around. I was in the middle of the ocean. And in my dream, I like went down below, and I saw Mariana there. And it was like just us two on the boat.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is supposed to happen. So I woke up.
A premonition.
Premonition. And I like went about my life for like a week or two. And actually, I don't think I've even told you this, but I saw you once between that dream and Pussers. It was at a happy hour, but I was just like, it's not the right time.
Too soon. Too soon.
Not the right time. I have to let it gestate.
Definitely sailors.
Yes. Yes.
some tides have to change.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Moon phase.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So we're here at Pussers with like a big group of friends. We're all hanging out. And I like pull her to the side and I'm like, you're going to think I'm crazy. But I had a dream. We're supposed to start a double-handed campaign. I don't know what to do about it. I really want it to happen. Will you do it? And I was like bracing because I was like, I think she's going to say no. Like, this
right.
is a really big endeavor. And she looked back and she was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that
nice.
Was it.
Winning.
Yeah.
Winning.
Yeah.
So much winning.
So much winning.
Yeah. So I told her the dream, like exactly as I said it here. And I was like, do with it what you will. Like, I don't know exactly what race we're supposed to do. I don't know what we're going to, what boat's going to be on, any of the specifics. That's all I know. It's just going to be us two in the ocean. And then Mariana really added shape and color to the whole campaign.
Okay.
She would start to, like, text me little details, like, what do you think about this type of boat? What do you think about this race? What do you think about this name?
Ooh.
And that's how Spite started.
Ooh. Yeah.
So I think anybody who's raced or spent any time around boats in general has, like, a story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple stories.
Maybe a handful.
Maybe a lot of stories, depending
maybe
on
like
who you are.
Maybe a podcast's worth.
Maybe a podcast's worth of stories of negative experiences, or just, like, something in your life, in your sort of maritime endeavors that made you feel unwelcome.
Well, let's back up for a second. I mean, the whole boating world is based on a pseudo-militaristic hierarchy, right? Mm-hmm. I am a captain. Thank Woo-hoo. You very much. Which means, I mean, the reality is it means everything's my fault. But with that comes certain expectations that you have to defer to me.
Right.
And that creates a situation where you can have a lot of egos, mm-hmm. you can have a lot of miscommunications, you can have a lot of mistakes, you can have a lot of tyrants.
Yeah, I think, like you're saying, like the innate hierarchy sort of in these spaces can create a lot of power imbalances, I guess, or just a lot of, like, gatekeeping, for lack of a better word, where it's just like, who feels like this is their space, right? Yeah. Or who feels like they're welcome here, or whatever.
I mean, yacht clubs have Commodores, for Christ's sake. That is right. The craziest thing to
me. And I mean, they're clubs, right? clubs inherently are sort of cliquey and, you belong, you don't belong, right? And so I think everyone has that or has had an experience like that. And then I think there is a level to which, like, women feel that more. You know, there's a statistic that something like 5% of women, and there's only 5% of people in the maritime industry are women, something like that.
Yep.
Which is lower than you'd expect. And then just, I don't think this statistic formally exists, but in, like, just like a visual sort of look around the average regatta, something like maybe 20% of people on board are women, right? And you ask yourself why and whatever. But the name Spite really came from this idea of, like, sort of putting it in the face of people who say, like, whomever doesn't belong in this space, right? It's to spite, like, those people, but also in spite of the barriers that exist for anyone. It's certainly, me and Emma are both young women, so that's certainly our focus. We hope to create a platform for young women to get involved in offshore sailing, but it's also very much inclusive of anyone who feels like there isn't really a spot for them, or they haven't quite found their space in the offshore sailing world for whatever reason. And we want to say, like, you can do this in spite of what you've been told, in spite of how you've been made to feel, in spite of any of those things. So that's really where the name comes from.
I love it. I mean, I 100% get it, because if I was going to name my sailing team, we would bleep it out.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah.
You know, so then I'd settle on something like Pink Pony Club.
Which is a great name. Backup name, Pink Pony Club.
Yeah. That's our sister boat.
Yes.
But I think that there is something really interesting about any time that somebody is not coming from growing up sailing, I hate to say it, but hi, I'm your grew up sailing, did it with my dad.
Sure. Like, and that's great.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But a big part of it is you have to be encouraged by somebody
totally
to take this on,
right?
And ideally it's somebody with resources and boats and knowledge and a willingness to teach,
mm-hmm.
which you don't always find, And if you don't have that, if you don't have a dad who's helping you do this, like, it is a really wild endeavor. So, I mean, I feel like I'm going to sound like everybody who poo-poos you guys, but, like,
nah, bring it on.
Do you think that you're equipped to do a double-handed ocean race?
I feel like we absolutely are. I think for everyone that thinks that we aren't, that's very valid. And I think you have to be afraid of the ocean. You have to respect it. You have to have a sense of humbleness. I've done many sports throughout my life. I didn't grow up sailing, but I've done volleyball. I've done competitive cheerleading. That was a weird arc.
Whoa.
Most people don't expect that.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of lore with Emma. Yeah.
You want to talk about discipline? You want to talk about, like, precision and intensity and focus?
Yeah.
Whew, she's got it.
Enthusiasm.
And yelling.
And yelling. Yelling is crucial in this sport. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think, I always think about day 5 of the trip we just did. Mariana, we sailed from Newport to West Palm. And on day 5 of, like, a 8-10 calendar day trip, I was like, I don't know. This is really hard. This is 5 days of slamming. Upwind, like, this is really brutal. It made me question myself. And something we talked a lot before that trip about was, like, finding our edge. And I think that's what offshore sailing is, like, seeing what you think your barrier is mentally, physically, in all ways, and then allowing yourself to move past that.
Mm-hmm.
But not alone. Like, I totally looked to Mariana and I was like, you need to shake me by the shoulders and be like, you got this. Like, just tell me that we can do the next day. And then it makes you get really present and really intentional with where you're at. So instead of looking at, like, oh gosh, we have another 24 hours upwind. Like, no, we just get through the next shift. Then go to your off watch. Then your next shift. And I think that's what offshore sailing is. And it's a lot of critical thinking and solving problems. And Mariana's phenomenal at that. Like, every issue we've had.
Oh,
this is so cute. See how they're doing this?
Yeah.
Take notes. Take notes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll think about
compliment.
It. Compliment. I'll think about it.
But yeah, we joke. Like, I feel like that weird dream just, like, chose everything for us. Like, Mariana, we had a great time on the race, but I feel like we complement each other well.
I talk about you got to find people in offshore racing who got that dog in them, as people say.
Right.
Like, I know that is, like, such a funny thing to say, but it is, like, such a succinct way of putting it. Like,
it is
who's got that dog in them, you know? And I remember, like, you know, you can sail with people and you'll have a great time sailing with them.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal sailors in many ways, but then you're like, do you have that dog? They don't got that dog. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it does matter. And I think it matters. And I think you do. I think you both got that dog.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'll find it. But
that's exactly the difference, right? Yeah. You got to be able to find it in those hard, awful moments.
But I will.
Exactly. No, listen. A reluctant dog is still a dog. And I think, that's, like, the big thing. Like, you're asking, like, can we do this, right? And it's like, right now. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Can we do it well? Can we do it competitively? No.
Ah.
No, not yet.
Okay.
We have a lot to learn for that.
Okay.
We will.
Like, we're both good sailors. I mean, speaking for myself, like, I've been sailing a long time. I feel like I have, like, a good knowledge of sailing generally, and I'm pretty decent at, like, solving problems, but, like, if we're offshore and the diesel engine breaks, can I fix it? Maybe. I know, like, the first 3 things to check.
There you go.
But what happens after those 3 aren't the problem, right? Don't know. Got to keep studying those things, right?
Right.
Or, you know, the alternator breaks, or something's weird with the batteries, or there's a smell I don't recognize, right? Like, those are really the sailing. What we say, what a lot of people have told us, is the sailing is the easy part.
Yeah.
Sailing is the easy part. It's everything else that is hard and that we still have to do a lot of learning on. Like, I think we could right now, if we got on a boat that was reasonably seaworthy, and could we sail it from Newport to Bermuda? I think we could. Would it be particularly fun or fast? Probably not. But we're working
so much
to
head
that.
Shaking.
Yeah, no.
For anybody who's
sequential.
On the audio, like,
yeah. Sequential head shaking.
God, we are so in sync. This team.
Well,
I'm
we
telling.
Get there.
Is this synchronized sailing? What the heck?
That is added to the Olympics.
Yeah.
There's a sea shanty going on.
Yeah, I know.
We can't hear.
We can't hear it. I'm
going to start narrowing my mouth. That's what the next year and a half are for, is like those blind spots, those things that we know, but how well do we know them, right? And how can we get better at them? And that's
very
why
cool.
We're doing some work on those things.
And one more note on the campaign is we didn't come in, and we know we're not coming in at 100%, but the intention is to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the platform a lot of people are missing. Like, a lot of people step into offshore racing on top boats, and they're already top sailors. Like, we're both pretty good sailors, but I wanted a platform to learn and to help others learn as well. So it's a space of curiosity, of humbleness, and then finding that dog and pushing, right. Pushing as hard as you can.
So that's really interesting because... again, let's go back to how spoiled I am. I absolutely have gotten to crew with some very well-funded boats, with professional crew on board, with people who were screaming at me about micro millimeters of trim. At an intensity level that...
Was it fun?
They earned every penny that they were being paid for.
No comment. No,
right, no comment. No comment. What I'll say is, I think that if you asked me right now to go do an ocean race, I would only be as ready as you guys are, because you have steeped yourselves in it. I kind of have to go back to the drawing board and sort of remember the long plan of, hey, you know, when you're watching big weather systems, not these little bay, like, oh, it's going to thunderstorm around 8 o'clock when we get close to the dock again. No.
it's a cyclone.
like we're talking like big weather systems, big, big stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You have to judge a course that is hundreds of miles long. And for me to do that right now, no, I don't think I could. I think I would. I got some studying to do.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, it's kind of a good place to be in a weird way. It's funny, you're looking at the two people of Spice Sailing, but this actually isn't a very accurate picture.
Okay.
We have a whole shore team that we're building out behind us.
Ah, I love
and
it.
And it's... it's really nice. Like, we've met so many people in this journey already who are helping us, and they're going to help us kind of tune in on the navigation, really understand the different weather systems.
People have offered coaching. They've offered their network as far as just like, hey, I know somebody who might have a boat. I know somebody who might know somebody who has a boat, right? Like, it's really been incredible how quickly the racing family, I guess you could say, will rally around a project like this. Like, you know, you find somebody and you say, hey, we're kind of trying to do this thing. And they go, that's amazing. We'd love to help, you know? And that has been so moving.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I like, trust me, I like want to cry like four times a week.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you
being
so nice to me? No, I don't understand.
So good.
Yeah, it's really been special.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed.
Yes.
What have you understood so far? So it's okay.
The sailing thing can be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a dog on the sailboat.
Yes, there is. If you're lucky, there's a couple.
Hopefully, the dog is at the helm. Barking orders.
Oh, I'm just picturing your dog. She'd be so happy there.
I know, right?
No.
If I could get her on the finger pier, we'd be in great shape.
Oh, no, she's scared.
What kind of dog do you have?
Oh, well, I have a rescue Labradane.
Oh.
Yeah, she's great.
She's enormous.
Like Dane as in Great Dane? I was going to say, big dog.
Yeah.
She's a big girl.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Big, soft, big softy.
Oh, the bigger they are, the softer
she thinks she's
they
a lap dog, but.
Yeah. Aww.
Yeah. I haven't taken her sailing yet, but this summer.
We'll get her.
Yeah, we'll get her out there.
She's young.
No.
I love it.
You guys are impressive. I'm impressed. I want to know how I can help.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Let's. Honestly, we probably are at that point where we're supposed to ask you. You know, if folks want to find out more about what you're doing and how to get involved, get supported. You know, maybe just check in on you, see if you're still floating.
Sure.
How do they go about that?
What's your GoFundMe address?
Yeah, well, funny you should ask. I'll let you plug the money. I'll plug the thing we need right now. Well, you can follow us at Spite Sailing on Instagram. Okay. We have a website, spitesailing.com.
Nice.
I think we have a Twitch that we hope to use eventually, where we're going to live stream some of our stuff. And the thing we need first, not to drop this on at the end, is a boat.
We are at ground zero.
We will have a lot more content to share when we have our own boat. We're mostly borrowing and begging for time on other people's boats.
Are you working with a boat broker?
Well, we're
I've
not.
I've actually never known a racing sailboat sold through a broker.
Yeah, so that's the thing is...
Why is that? Hold on. I'm sorry.
That's a question for the
like, honestly. I maybe like a J24 that, you know, somebody gave up on.
Usually I would assume the racing world is very interconnected.
Yeah.
So when if probably whoever's thinking about selling, he's probably got five people.
It's
that
true.
Said,
a lot of them don't officially
sell,
make it
know.
To market.
Then,
I think
right. it's inherent to just.
But
you know,
if you are one,
do
of
it
those
all
people.
Willy nilly and whatnot, and not have proper representation.
Yeah. But if you are one of those people who has a boat like that, we are looking for something in like 28 to 36 feet.
Ooh, small.
Relatively small. Something seaworthy. Something that. Ideally doesn't have like an absolutely insane rig because older boats with very tall masts usually rely on crew weight, which we won't necessarily have, but we'll make do if that's what our options are. But yeah, so if you have a well-loved, blue water worthy, relatively seaworthy, we can work with it if it's as long as it's solid.
God, are you guys ready to get in the yard with a boat?
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We expect it.
Yes,
I am such a princess these days. I really like. I don't know how they're doing
hit
it.
Hit us up, spitesailingteam@gmail.com. We take. We'd love to just take your boat if you would be so willing.
And if you want to financially support us. You can support us at givebutter.com/backsplash.
We'll help them out. There'll be links. Don't worry.
I don't know.
Backsplash.
Well, okay.
Water's on my mind. It'll be on all our socials too.
I feel like this is the perfect time to talk about the dollars and cents of stuff like
let's
this.
Get into it.
So I know how much just the entry fees for some of these races are. And we're talking. You know, $1,000 just to put your name in a hat. And then the thousands of dollars that you're going to have to spend to make sure that your boat is up to the standards they require it.
Just to be safe
just
to
be
go
be
out
safe
and race.
Yeah. To go. Yeah.
There's pages and pages of all the things you need that they will check for or check for after you finish the race. And if you don't have them, you're in trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, there's a lot of dollars.
A little tisk.
I mean, okay, just to put it out there, to rent a, what are they called?
Life raft.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wow, that really.
What
went
are
away
these
me.
Things?
What are? I don't want it.
Okay, yeah. Have the helicopter pick me up.
Yeah, she's like, I will never get in one. I don't want to know what they are. That's how she's getting to Bermuda.
No, I've definitely had to do the life raft inflate and get in. Oh, it's so awful.
I want to go for a ride on one of the like pump ones off the back of like a container
no,
ship.
No, you don't.
No,
I know
you
I
do
don't,
not.
But I
no,
do.
Oh my God,
I know I don't, but I
don't
do.
Don't wanna.
It's like a roller coaster.
But yeah, anyway. Just to rent one of those is like $1,000.
Yeah.
For one of these races.
Yeah.
And so now you're talking about. Honestly, I'm becoming a real curmudgeon about this because I love the concept of it being very egalitarian, but in order for that to be true, holy cow, you're going to need sponsorship.
Absolutely. Yes, please. there's a lot of capital investment, right? Like to some degree, like a boat can be sustained. You get new sails every couple years, like you said, entry fees, rearming, you know, kits and things like that. You can skate by on like a reasonable budget, throwing a number out there, maybe like 10 to 15 grand a year on slip fees, entry fees, occasional sales and upkeep, right? That's a low figure.
That's a very low figure.
But that's like, you know, low end. But that doesn't account for buying a boat, depending on how cheap the boat is, having to invest in fixing it up. We're going to do everything we can ourselves, which will save a lot of money. And then we're hoping to partner with different organizations who maybe like aren't in a position to give us money, but maybe will give us stuff. You know, we need winches. They can't give us money for winches. Maybe they'll just give us winches, like that kind of thing. And the more people we've spoken to who have done something similar, who've had very successful race campaigns, rely on that sort of thing, because we've heard it many times. There's not a lot of money out there for racing in the United States. The French love racing sailboats. The Australians love racing sailboats. And companies in those places love giving money for people to race sailboats.
They love it over there.
Why is that?
Why does America hate sailing? I'm kidding. Well, America does not hate sailing.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
I'm going to get us out of here for just a second. And then I'm going to tell you my conspiracy theories about this.
Here we go.
Oh, my
She's
God.
Got them.
And fair warning, this is only going to be on our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to know what's really going
corner
on.
With like the
I literally, I have to put this behind a paywall because otherwise I will never work in certain fields ever again. So, this has been the Funny Boat Podcast. Bon voyage.
Bon voyage.
Thank you so
much. Yeah,
thank
you guys. Yeah.
Sports
bite
sailing. Okay. Thank you so much,
I'm
Captain.
I gotta tell you a story about
beer.
Dennis Connor. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on a sec. Me from the future. I do tell my Dennis Connor story in the paywalled version of this audio. Go check it out over on patreon.com/funnyboatpodcast. But the conversation kept going and I felt like there was enough in there that you deserve to hear as well. So here we go with the rest of the conversation.
Oh man. Anyway, good on you, Australia. It did sort of cement their attitude.
Yeah.
For being,
well, we love a good rivalry.
Oh my God, it's
so
good.
Yeah.
But I'm worried about the America's Cup. The public in the United States does seem to have kind of given up on sailing.
Well,
from like a commercial standpoint.
Well, they did it. I mean, at that time, it was, hey, we have boats that general public kind of sort of has access to, and you can kind of
do understand.
It. And now it's like F1 on the water.
Literally.
And it's like, but they've gotten back to that innovation.
Yeah.
Because
it is very much like F1 in that way, where you're like, I will never drive anything like that, but I can understand how cool it is.
Right.
But also, I don't really understand how it works.
But I think, as we were building out this campaign, we did a lot of research on other campaigns that were successful, Cole Brower being the most notable.
I'm so obsessed with her.
I know.
Oh,
she's so
God.
Cool.
Notice us.
And
please, Senpai.
Yeah.
I'm huge fans. I own your merch.
And we were looking at like her fan base, and it was people her age who are similar in age to us, and then people from an older generation that could kind of see themselves in her adventure. And I think that's where we start to lose the relatability to sailing, when we can't really see ourselves in that boat. So like in an F1 type boat, an America's Cup boat, not everyone's like, oh, that is like, that is the sailing I dream of.
I think like
of.
The romanticism of sailing is the like Nantucket, you know, wooden, you know, beautiful,
nice
like
Hershoff of some
yes,
sort.
You know, it's very like Kennedys in their white polos, right? Like that's people's like dream of sailing. When you see people in these like crazy carbon fiber race boat spaceships with, you know, there's not really sails anymore even. They're just
right.
pieces
the
of
wings.
Carbon and they're not really even in the water anymore. And I think it's just like a completely different thing than like what people think of when they think of like sailing the ocean, right? It's like a totally different thing.
Yeah, and that's kind of the the real origin story of this is like we're making sailing, we're turning it into something that's like our thing in a way. Like we're bringing our personalities to it. We're showing that like sailing can be for anyone. It's an underdog story. It's an adventure story. Like if you, I learned how to sail at 22. I'm only 26. So it's, I learned right over there at the Downtown Sailing Center. So I think it's just cool. Like I see all these boats in the offshore races and I'm like, these are all pretty relatable boats. Like they're all sick. They all seem fun to sail on. It feels like a proper community. And when you get off the water, you want to hang out with everyone. And we want to open that up to everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just good. So cute. Gross.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Okay, I am going to get us out of here. I still don't have a way to get us out of the after.
Out of the pay,
the post.
Pay
one. Oh, yeah. Like the sign other than off.
Like, I love you. I love you.
We could do Rosebud Thorn.
Oh, we do that in the Scouts.
That?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
That's her roommate's favorite thing.
Do you have a talking stick, too? You're passing around.
We can make it.
Okay,
I was
wait.
Like,
we got to explain what that is. Because I promise you, our two patrons do not know what Rosebud Thorn is.
Both of them.
Emma, please do the honors.
So I live with a good friend from high school. We're still really good friends, and we've lived together successfully for a couple of years. And you never know how it goes.
Well, I've done Rosebud Thorn on a boat.
Yeah, have you?
Exclusively.
Oh, wow.
I've never done it not on a boat.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's so sweet.
I've only done it camping.
Okay.
Oh. Gross.
Well, you guys don't live in my house. We do it like every night.
Aww. Okay. Okay.
So, this is where you screwed
up. Give me the explanation of Rosebud Thorn right, before I give
what
you
is Rosebud Thorn?
Okay. So Rose is where you choose a frame of time. So we can choose today or last week. But Rose is like highlight of the week. Bud is what you're looking forward to. And Thorn is like the worst part of your week. So does everyone want to agree on last week or this
week?
Yeah,
in the last like weekish. Let's
say. Okay. I was just going to go for the last hour.
Say everything you hate about us.
Thorn, this podcast.
Whoa, easy.
Emma and Mariana.
This snow.
Oh, true. All right, Ed, kick us off.
Oh, so.
Your rose.
My
rose. What's kicking butt for you?
Oh, yeah, I got three contracts already.
Woo-hoo. Whoa!
Rocking,
huge!
So I'm happy.
You're buying drinks.
Wow.
I am. Bud would be what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the Chesapeake Bay Boat Show.
Hey!
Coming up next weekend.
She's coming. She's coming.
Come see the brig display. I'll be there slinging brigs. And then Thorn would be the damn weather.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
the ice. The snow I don't care about, but it's cold. The ice I really hate.
Oh, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
I'm going to give it back to the pro.
Oh, okay.
Come on, pro.
I wasn't prepared.
Then in that case, I'll go.
No, I feel like you have to close this out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go to Mariana.
Oh, okay. All right. My rose.
That's how it works.
It's like ping pong.
I feel like this is cheating, but this podcast, this has been so much fun. Whoa. It's been great to meet you all.
That's a fantastic
answer.
And just
yap and talk about boats. That's my favorite thing to do.
Mine too.
Yeah.
I started a podcast
three.
About it.
Bud, I'm going to steal your answer. Probably we're going next week to North Hughes Performance Sailing Week in St. Thomas.
Whoa.
Oh, so St. Thomas.
Wow. Yeah, so we're going to get the hell out of here.
So tough.
And go somewhere warm and go sailing in some nice, beautiful blue water and learn lots of things we don't know already.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully lots of tactics and helming and cool stuff like that. So that'll be great. And then Thorn... I won't try to repeat your answer, though. That is an obvious one. I will say today, so my like full-time job, I deal with like robots, and they were misbehaving today. They were very naughty. So that is
dang
my
robots.
Thorn. They weren't doing what they were told, and that was
That's my rose right there. That
fair,
sounds fair.
Fun.
Misbehaving robots. Yeah. I love them. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so my rose is, everyone's going to hate this actually.
Great. I'm so glad. Perfect.
I love it already.
So I just went to my eye appointment and I was up for new glasses and I got Ray-Ban Meta glasses. Mm.
Whoa.
I've been considering
wait,
that
myself.
Wait,
that we get to like first person perspective your whole process?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Everyone I've told this to is not happy about it.
Oh no. I'm psyched.
You have to tell us if you're recording. That's the only thing.
I've been literally.
We can see the little light, okay?
I am always camera ready. We'll hang out more. Yeah, that's all.
That's cool.
So cool content coming. Ray-Ban, sponsor us.
Sponsor us.
If you disagree with Emma, put it in the notes. But comment below.
Comment below.
Engagement.
Like.
Okay. I'm going to do some interesting editing because this is all good stuff that I need to put in the mains. You guys are complicating my life, but that's okay.
Sorry,
I love you anyway. Okay. Wait, you're supposed to have a thorn now.
Yeah, what's the thorn?
My thorn. Focus.
My thorn is shoveling. And then,
so I think that's a different take.
And someone hit my car.
Oh, yeah.
And ran.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. So,
tag yourself in comment.
If you see a car with red duct tape going around Baltimore, it's not me.
It's not
Did they yell starboard or anything? No.
Starboard. Oh, God.
We're going to subtract 8 seconds from there.
Backwards. I'm going to start with thorn.
All right.
And it's that I just spilled my painkiller on myself.
No. But you're wearing bibs.
Down. And it went down my bibs that I'm wearing because of the snow. Because, yes, foul weather gear on boats makes excellent outer layers.
Well, you're definitely walking
snow.
Home. I'm not giving you a
Yeah.
Right.
There is my bud. And my rose, as gross and mushy as it is, I am so freaking excited about you having your own brokerage.
Aww.
I
think
that is Aww. So awesome.
Oh, they are friends.
I know. It's disgusting.
It is.
Oh, that's so nice.
I am really, really excited for you. And I'm so excited about some of your listings, which I'm going to convince you to figure out how to do. Okay, this has been the Funny Bone Podcast for real this time.
For real.
I swear, there's like a wow noise that we do here and all that stuff, but I put that in after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
We did it.
So, insert noise here.
Insert noise
here.
That's the name of my racing boat.